fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
One of my missions, one of my challenges, one of my goals here as a broadcaster is to present reality in a very surface level presentation, juxtaposed against the fake news, lying politicians, or whatever the situation might be, so that the average person out there that isn't necessarily as informed or up to date or doesn't follow news or politics or just doesn't care can see it in a very low IQ way, not to insult people saying they're low IQ, but to just present it in a low IQ way so that the average American or audience member can see it and just say, something doesn't add up here. So let's take a look in the wake of these mass shootings, the response by all the Democrats here blaming Trump for the mass shootings, even though all the actual evidence is, I mean, if you're going to do that, you can go both ways, but that shouldn't even be what this is about. But look at what the Democrats are doing in response to the latest mass shootings.
I think the president has to bear some responsibility for creating a culture in the United States.
These are all presidential candidates, by the way.
Race baiting, around demonizing people of color, around demonizing immigrants.
We have a president of the United States who has embraced white nationalism.
Well, get ready for a big Kamala Harris push.
Is under attack from domestic.
She's raising big funds right now.
Terror.
White nationalist, white supremacist, racist hatred.
White nationalism and white nationalist violence.
White nationalist terrorism.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalism.
White nationalists.
The president has stoked the flames.
He has emboldened it. He has given it power. He has elevated it. He has coddled it. And he's got to stop.
This is the environment that the president has created. He's made it okay.
He is responsible for what is going on and is doing nothing, nothing to stop the carnage and the chaos.
I'm incredibly saddened, and it is very hard to think about this.
Our president right now is using the same language of racism, of bigotry, and white supremacy.
He is a racist.
Donald Trump talks like a racist, thinks like a racist, makes statements like a racist. Yeah, he's a racist, because racism is as racism does.
He must be held responsible.
It's a national embarrassment. I mean, who cares how strong our economy is or how strong our military is if Americans are killing Americans?
When you read that manifesto, it looked like it could have been written by a Trump speechwriter.
Wow. Now, I said yesterday, I've never seen more racism in my life. And guess what? It's directed at white people. And you just saw it. But that's fine. That's the Democrat Party. That's the message of hate. Who knows why these people are motivated to say all this crap? Maybe they're blackmailed. Maybe they're along for the ride. Maybe they're just liars and can't help it. Maybe they think that that's politically advantageous. They all know it's BS. And if you're going to point any fingers at Trump, boy, let's look at Elizabeth Warren. Let's look at Cortez. But no, that's not what we're here to do. So as the Democrats are pointing fingers at Trump and every white person or everyone that supports Trump, let's actually go to an individual that was at one of the mass shootings and survived it. Let's see what this man had to say.
I didn't think that I would need an assault rifle or a bigger handgun, but after seeing that yesterday, all things are possible.
Are you planning to buy a bigger weapon?
This is an open carry state, so most definitely.
Oh! You mean the man that was there being shot at and could have died wishes he had a gun? So you know what? All those Democrats who want to blame me and white people and Trump, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Tuesday, August 6th, 2019. This is the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by Infowarsstore.com. It's the Banniversary. It's the Banniversary. Oh, we've got the Censorship Cup in the house. Let's get a crew cam on the one-year Banniversary of Alex Jones being unhumaned from the internet. Here we are. Still kicking and screaming against the globalist tyrants. There's the great crew. And there's the Censorship Cup right there. Look at that. Awarded to Alex Jones today, the most censored man on the internet. You know, I didn't finish my point from the last segment, but it's this, and I'm going to move on because I want to take a bunch of phone calls today. I got Gerald Celente coming up with huge financial news. I've got Fleckus Toss coming up in the third hour, and I want to get to all this news and your phone calls. But here's what this comes down to, where I'm serious. I've never seen more racism in my life. I mean, I remember I used to read the books. I forget the name of the artist. I believe it was a lady. She wrote Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, and a whole series of books. And I mean, you know, that's like an eye into what black people had to deal with when it was truly a racist country. And, you know, black people couldn't get on a bus, couldn't use a sidewalk, couldn't go have dinner. And so that era is gone, thank God. Are there still pockets of racist people, maybe? Are there still people that are going to be racist? Are there still deranged people? Are there still hateful people? Of course, that's never going to change. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop you either. But we're now in a society where it's not about the color of your skin. I mean, yes, they sit here and they demonize white people all day to foment a race war, but it's not even about that. It's about political views. And so now it's just white nationalism. And so they use the word white because they've demonized white people. It has nothing to do with race, because in case you haven't noticed, black people are white nationalists. Mexicans are white nationalists. Everybody's a white nationalist, even if they're black, brown, or anything in between. So it's all about being a nationalist, wanting to have sovereignty, wanting to be free, wanting to be independent, not wanting socialism, not wanting communism, not wanting corruption, not wanting a bigger government. But then they just say white nationalism, and that's now their pinata to swing at. And you'll never find the white nationalism, because they just pull the string on the pinata and nothing comes out, because there's nothing there. It's just a pinata they're using for you to swing at. The real enemy is America. But here's my point. All the Democrats come out and blame Trump and blame white nationalists. And why is that? Because they say that President Trump isn't doing enough. He isn't doing enough. But wait a second. What does that mean? They want gun confiscation. They want rifles to be illegal. They want gun registries. They don't want any guns. So you say, huh? So you decided, the whole Democrat Party, which of course is not true, the corrupt globalists that are posing as Democrats. By the way, I'm going to get to the news. They're a total disaster. You've got seven Democrats polling at 0% that are still in the race. I mean, hello, I told you, it's a trial balloon. They're putting all of this bullcrap out there to see what polls the highest, and then they hope that they can create a candidate that you might vote for instead of Trump, because they have no policy to go on. They have no examples of success. They have no unity. They have nothing. So they're trying to create a candidate that they hope you might vote for. And right now, it looks like they're going to go with Kamala Harris, even though she's being totally devastated for her corruption as the attorney general out there in California. But here's my point. Democrats point the finger at Trump, point the finger at white people, point the finger at this. They point the finger at the internet. They point the finger at websites. They point the finger at individuals. and they say it's your fault because you won't take the guns. You won't turn the guns in. Oh, by the way, it doesn't even matter. These people claim Trump is Hitler, but they want to give the guns to him. Oh, you know what Hitler did to the Jews? He took the guns. But yeah, give your guns to Hitler, though. But then what happens when you go to someone who was at the scene being shot at and you say, what was it like? And what's the first thing that comes to their head? Man, I wish I had a gun. Well, I'll be. And here's the craziest thing about it. That is as common sense as you could get. If a bad guy comes at you with a gun, what do you wish you had? Your fist? Your foot? I doubt you're Bruce Lee. I doubt you're Superman. If a bad guy comes at you with a gun, or you're getting shot at, what do you wish you had in that moment? I wonder. And I hope people don't have to learn it the hard way. But think about this. More guns were sold during the Obama administration, I believe, than any other presidential administration. What happens typically, in fact, I don't even know how you could track this. Maybe you guys can find a story. Maybe someone is tracking this. I bet you that as of Monday to today, gun sales are way up. You know why? Because it's basic common sense and instinct to want to protect yourself from bad guys with guns by being a good guy with a gun. Now, is this a scenario we want? No. But the price of freedom is remaining forever vigilant. Do you think I'm happy seeing all this news, knowing about threats, and reaching a point where, I mean, folks, I don't even want to get into it, but it's almost to a point now where if you're not carrying when you go out in public, it's on you. Because here's the thing. You can sit here and point the finger at President Trump all day long. You can point the finger at Obama all day long. Bush, Gumby, whoever the president is, it doesn't matter. The president isn't your daddy. The government isn't your daddy. You got that? Your daddy. You're in charge. You protect yourself. The government and the president are here to make sure you can do that. And the minute you can't, like the poor people in Chicago that are disarmed, or the poor people in California that are disarmed, you used to be able to not have a gun in D.C. They finally changed that. Violence was rampant. New York, you can't have a gun. All these places where you can't have a gun, and they're sitting here worried about mass shootings saying, Daddy Trump, do something, Daddy Trump. Trump ain't your daddy. But isn't that the problem? Isn't that the problem? They have been broke back into arrested development, and they need a daddy. They need a daddy to pay their bills. They need a daddy to get their rent down. They need a daddy to put food on the table. They need a daddy to protect them from the bad guy. And they don't even have the natural instinct to want to be their own daddy, to want to take care of themselves. And so they march in the street to take away their own rights, and then they say, Trump is Hitler, give him the guns.
Infowars.com/show.
Hey,
It's the Banniversary. That's right. 1 year ago today, Alex Jones, unhumaned from the internet, the bad man, the Voldemort of news, current events, politics, geopolitics, futurism, interdimensions. The 1 year Banniversary. I honestly can't even believe it. It feels like it's been longer than a year. But I guess that's what it feels like when you're running uphill. If you run a mile uphill, it feels a lot longer than a mile on a flat surface. So I guess that's the analogy. But because of the 1 year Banniversary, we have the Banniversary sale at InfoWarsStore.com so you can get 60% off, up to 60% off top-selling supplements like the Real Red Pill Plus or the Real Red Pill. I take the Real Red Pill every morning, so you can go ahead and make the selection. The Real Red Pill Plus, the Real Red Pill, the only real difference is there's some minor differences, but the only real difference is that the Real Red Pill Plus has some natural caffeine in there, whereas the Real Red Pill does not. And so I don't go for the caffeine in the pill in the morning. But if you do that, Real Red Pill Plus is the answer for you. But that's just one of the great supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out all the reviews. The nascent Iodine X2, game-changing, 50% off, 50% off Ultra 12, the best vitamin B12 supplement taken under the tongue that you can find, 50% off the InfoWars Life Select storable food, so that's the best quality at the best price. You can get it 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, for the month of August, I hope you take advantage of this. For the month of August, coupon code WARROOM at checkout gets you 15% off a brand new filtered shower head. That's right. You already filtered your drinking water, I hope. If not, go to InfoWarsStore.com, get a water filter. Why not filter the water you bathe in? And when you get a brand new water filter shower head at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM at checkout, you get 15% off. I decided to launch this special after I installed the ProPure Chrome Plus shower filter with ProMax in my home and just absolutely love it. Just absolutely love it. I can tell the difference, and the water pressure is awesome. It's just great. So take advantage of 15% off with coupon code WARROOM on any shower head at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I want to go to a long-lost video. Now, there's all kinds of these videos, but this one is great in particular because it's so spot-on as far as, like, a tiny little target. Like, some targets are, like, really big when you say, oh, white nationalists are bad. Okay, well, what? That's, like, how many people are they saying is white nationalists? Like, 80 million, 100 million people? If you're white and you love America, are you a white nationalist? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, they're calling, I mean, look, I can't even get in it. They're literally calling for white people to start being killed, but I'll try to just ignore that. This is a clip of Donald Trump on Matt Lauer from, I believe it was the year 2000 or maybe 2002, but it's funny because you hear this clip and you're thinking, well, wait a second. If Trump said that on national news decades ago, why do they keep saying he's this, that, and the other thing, racist and likes David Duke? Listen to this long-lost interview, which I had to scrub through YouTube. They probably deleted it just to find, of Donald Trump on with Matt Lauer.
I'm not going to be running. The party is, as you know, self-destructing. Jesse
Reform
has
party.
Left, and that's a problem.
The year 2000.
So I will not be running.
Not running for the nomination of the Reform Party or not considering any run for the presidency this time around?
Not considering a run.
Nothing could change your mind with that?
No, totally not.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem.
What?
I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
What?
Buchanan's a disaster.
Whoa, stop. No, pause this. I must be in the Mandela effect. I think I'm traveling through a space vortex in time. Did I just hear Donald Trump disavow David Duke in the year 2000? But see, Matt Lauer will still go on air if he still had a job and say, Trump's racist, even though he did that interview. So go back. I want to pinch myself. How many times have I heard mainstream news and Democrats say Trump refuses to disavow David Duke, even though here he is in the year 2000 leaving a political party because of David Duke's affiliation? And then they all know it. They don't care. These are bold-faced liars that we're dealing with on television, in government, probably blackmailed, maybe by Jeffrey Epstein, which, by the way, I may get to this today. I had a big revelation on the Epstein thing today. Wow. And this goes one way or the other, but wow. But let's go back here. Donald Trump in the year 2000, disavowing David Duke and leaving a political party because of Duke's affiliation, the mainstream news will never, ever air this interview.
With the Reform Party right now.
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party. Buchanan's a disaster, as we've, you know, covered.
Okay,
Jesse's a terrific guy.
You get the point. Trump goes on and he talks about the Reform Party, and it sounds like Trump. It sounds like the same Trump you listen to now. Well-spoken, understands the issues, knows where he stands on the issues. But it's like, do I have to go through all of the footage of Donald Trump being friends with Snoop Dogg and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Muhammad Ali and receiving Rosa Parks awards, and he's a pop culture icon in the rap community. He helps a homeless black woman, gives her a home, literally gave her a home, still living rent-free, getting three meals a day. Nobody talks about that. Donald Trump pulling over in his limo to help people on the side of the road get a busted tire fixed. I think he gave him a ride in his limo. I mean, you know, he's just such a jerk. Oh, yeah, going on Oprah praising him. I mean, that Donald Trump. I mean, he's Hitler. Yeah, he's a Nazi. KKK member. Didn't you hear what he said about David Duke? He loves him. No, I just heard him say that he's going to leave a party because David Duke's a bigot and a bad guy. And the other one, no. Don't believe your own eyes. Don't believe your own ears. Believe the mainstream media. Believe the Washington Post, where you can go today. Oh, go to the homepage of the Washington Post. You'd think it was the anti-American propaganda wing. Oh, wait, that's right. It is. So what are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? What are we going to do as most likely a blackmailed coalition of corrupt people are trying to destroy your future? So if you don't fight for it, your future will be destroyed.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Gerald Celente, thetrendsjournal.com, forecasting since 1980. Headline, front page for the latest volume, The Gold Bull Run, What is the Trend and Are You Prepared? But I get Gerald Celente on today, who might be the only man right now with more stacks of papers on his desk than me. I want to get Gerald on to talk about a bevy of issues here, not only the gold trend, which we can get into, and perhaps it's all connected, but China devaluing their currency, what that means in the trade war, which is more than just a trade war to me, and I'll get Gerald's take on this too. It's an expansion war. It's a currency war. It's a wage war. It's a labor war. It's a manufacturing war. And yes, trade is just kind of the bottom line that measures it all. But these are all the different variables that go into the solution. And so, Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal, let's start with this. What do you make of China devaluing their currency? What do you make of President Xi, with more power than Mao Zedong ever had, looking like he may actually start to flex that pretty soon in more ways than one? And how does it all tie in to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. dollar being the world reserve? Gerald Celente, TrendsJournal.com.
All right. First on the devaluation of the yuan, they don't want it to go too low. And I know what Trump is saying and a lot of people are saying, but there are a lot of us that are saying something different. They don't want the yuan to go too low. Go back to 2015, 2016, when it started going down. Of course, now it just recently hit a 10-year low. There were enormous outflows of capital. They don't want that. Also, China is the world's largest energy importer. What is oil and energy based on? Petrodollars. The cheaper the yuan goes, the more it costs them to buy what they need more of anything. Number three, China's GDP is really built up not so much as from exports, but from consumer products. In other words, their GDP is consumer based. 2/3 of our GDP comes from consumer consumption. Almost 80% of China's does. That means they don't want to spend more to buy stuff that's coming in. And number four, China now ranks number three as America's major importer. Mexico's taken them over. Canada's taken them over. And as a guy who was a kid at the time when the Vietnam War was going on, how they taught us to hate those commies and killed over 58,000 American soldiers my age, and 250,000 wounded. Do you know that our trade now with Vietnam, those lousy commies, is now increased 33% this year?
And so by the way, Vietnamese Americans are as patriotic as they come because they've seen what communism does. But I want to just pause on this for a second because I want to understand something. Why is it? And of course, you know the answer. So you're saying that right now we're looking at a situation where Canada and Mexico are going to be importing into the United States more than China.
What's right here? Yeah, this now, is but, a. Well, here, here, wait, wanna... wait. Here we go. China's knocked down as top. This is Wall Street Journal. Data released Friday showed that Mexico was the top ranked trading partner for the first half of the year, followed by Canada. Imports from China dropped 12%. And U.S. exports to China fell 19%.
But here's what I'm getting at. China is literally on the other side of the world. Mexico, our neighbor to the south. Canada, our neighbor to the north. Why wouldn't that already be the situation? Why wouldn't they already be importing more? Oh, because China has no labor laws.
Well, exactly.
Because China works with the manufacturing companies. So, I mean, isn't that part of the whole rigged system here, Gerald? They pay people a penny a day. They have no pollution regulations. That's how they get all these deals.
No, yeah, and the way the deals were done is you could thank Slick Willie Clinton for bringing China into the World Trade Organization in 2001. They officially came in.
I'm mentioning
a thing about the communists is because how they use propaganda to start wars, but when it comes to making money, it's okay. That was why I brought that up about Vietnam. We have sick people running our countries. And not only the United States, worldwide. So going back to China, it was the manufacturers of America that sold us out and Europeans. They gave the Chinese all our technology that we the people paid for so they could get this stuff made by slave labor and bring it back and make more money. End of story. Don't blame the Chinese. Blame Slick Willie Clinton and all the dumbo craps and repulsive kins that sold us out. They're taking advantage of what the United States did.
So do you think Trump is making the right moves right now to try to stop China from stealing all the manufacturing? Or is this just something that Americans are going to have to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take the whatever less money it is because I got to pay a worker here a fair wage versus a guy in China a bag of rice for a full day of work.
There are two issues I agree with Trump on. One is the trade issues. And for me, it's a very simple solution. Go back to what used to be. Number two, I agree with him on, no, we can't keep taking in more and more people when we can't take care of our own. I want to see the immigration laws go back to the 1960s before LBJ changed them. So those are the things I agree with on. And yes, we cannot keep having cheap products come into this country and put everybody else out of work. While, by the way, again, the deal was this. The American and European companies could only own 49% of the action. Give us all your technology. We don't have any, but we'll let you make your crap here and bring it home, and we'll steal what we want. So don't blame the Chinese. Blame the Americans for doing it, not the American people, the disgusting people that are politicians.
Well, you're pretty fired up. So in the next segment, I just want you to kind of take the reins with what you think is the issue here. But your top story right now in the Trends Journal is the gold bull run. You know, all my my friends that are in, you know, to finance and trends and stuff were telling me about a month ago, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. You were saying buy gold. It's hit a high right now. Is this trend going to continue? And why is there a rush on gold?
Yes, it's going to continue. And we sent out a trend alert to our subscribers on June 6th. Gold was $1,332. I've been on your shows, for years. I've been negative on gold up until then. It broke past a very critical point at 1,325 and stabilized. I saw then our trend alert was the gold bull run has begun. Gold is now, if it stabilizes above this 1450 mark, and now as we're speaking, it's around, about 1470 in that range. If it stabilizes above this, we say it's going to really spike toward the 2000 mark. The whole world is printing cheap money. China has a million problems and 1.4 billion people. More than a million problems. They reserve ratio requirements of banks. In other words, the money that banks have to loan out money, it's down to almost nothing. They're trying to pump up their economy desperately. They just had the worst quarter in 30 years. You're looking around the world, India, Indonesia, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, name the country, look at the recession and decline. The central banks are pumping in monetary methadone to keep the addicted bull running. End of story.
I guess you're right. China's just sitting back here like, okay, we'll take all your manufacturing. Yeah, we'll take all your secrets. Yeah, give us your technology. Give us your nuclear secrets. Thanks, Bill Clinton. Thanks, American manufacturing companies. But I want Gerald to just take it over. He's on fire today. Let's get his take on the other side on everything.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's so much to get to, but right now I want to hand it over to Gerald Celente to just vent on all the news and what he thinks is going on geopolitically with China and how it relates to the tensions between India and China and then North Korea and then by proxy Iran and Russia. But really, Gerald, just started off with, where are we at right now in the quote-unquote trade war, which is really just Trump fighting for equal trade for the first time in, 20, 30, 40 years? Who knows? So now it's a trade war because we're saying, hey, we want something fair, not to get raped anymore. It's like, oh, it's trade war. It's like, no, we're just denying to lay down and be raped now. So get into where Trump is at on the trade war. Is he winning? How is China responding? What is the significance of what's happening in India and the other tensions in that region? Gerald Celente from thetrendsjournal.com.
Well, on the China issue, yes, China's going to make a deal. It's in their best interest. They're going to do something. For example, China is still considered under the World Trade Organization. They get benefits of being an emerging nation, a developing nation. They're not a developing nation, and that's what Trump is pointing out. China's going to give in at some point because they don't want to keep losing business. They have a huge surplus with the United States, so at some point they're going to make a deal. The big lie is that when the markets move up and down, they keep blaming it on the trade war. And again, I was the first one to call the Trump rally beginning in November of 2016, 2 weeks after he got elected. The Dow wouldn't have risen as far as it has, the S&P 500, if every 3 days they mentioned something in the business news about the trade war. The markets would not be going up like they had been. So it's really happening, and there's a global slowdown. Now, let's go back to China for one moment. Look what's going on in Hong Kong. This is a place where about 7.5 million people, if that. They're protesting. It's going on for weeks now. China's going to stamp them down. Oh, it's the same country, different government. No, it's one government, same country. Here's the deal. The 21st century is going to be the Chinese century. The 20th century was the American century. And the reason it's going to be the Chinese century is because Americans gave it away. They gave it away, as I mentioned, with the trade deal that they did by bringing China into the World Trade Organization. When China came into the World Trade Organization, they had about 5% of their population. They came in, by the way, 2 weeks after 9/11 when no one was paying attention. Their population, 5%, was considered middle class. Today, 35%. They have more middle class people than America has a country, plus another 100 million. And I say the Americans did it because the other issue is the business of America is war. The business of China is business. That's all they're interested in. They're going to fight the wars. They're going to fight small ones, and they're going to win them. You think Vietnam's going to be able to stop them, or the Philippines? Nobody's going to be able to stop them. They'll keep gobbling up those islands. But they're also gobbling up, with their Belt and Road Initiative, much of the world. And that's the new Yellow Silk Road, so to speak, whether it's throughout Eurasia, through Africa, even South America. So China's focus is on money. They know that they have to keep their population happy. And if the economy goes down, they have big problems. Oh, and they used to have reports that used to come out each year. There were like 30,000 protests, major ones, going on in China yearly because of the problems going on, whether it was pollution, pay, not getting paid, low wages, plants closing. Now you don't hear any of it. They have a lot of problems. Their country's going down. They're going to do everything to keep it up. In the meantime...
Well, so let me ask you this then. Why do we all of a sudden have this coverage of the Hong Kong protests?
Well, again, this is going to be big. And the people there... Oh, by the way, you're going to start seeing a lot of rich people leaving Hong Kong and going into other countries.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't money already flowing out?
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing that's bringing down their markets. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. They have real problems. And now you're seeing it with Hong Kong. That's a perfect example. So the Chinese are going to do everything they can to quell internal dissent. And they're going to do that by trying to do more business. Look, they're buying up ports everywhere, whether it's Greece, in Trieste, Italy. It's one place after another while the United States, we're sending more troops to get them ISISs. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Oh, we're going to go. Now we're going to put sanctions on Venezuela. So the Americans are taking a different course. The business of China is business. The business of America is war, and it's costing us.
Is there any way Trump can turn it around, though? I mean, he has the keys.
Yes. Yes. You know, I'm up in Kingston, New York. Woodstock, New York is what, 15 minutes away from us. All of these key-sheeting grin and liberal, balsamic smile liberals, right? Buy local, buy local, buy. Yeah, I love buying local. We have great farmers market. I love local. How about buy American? How about not buying stuff made by slave labor, whether it's coming from Bangladesh? Where are all you liberals? You like the slave labor. They're moving it over to Vietnam so they could make it cheaper labor and they don't have to worry about, you know, the tariffs. Where are all you liberals protesting that and still buying that product? 96% of the clothing and shoes that we wear are imported. It wasn't like that. We need to be a self-sustaining society. We can do it. We are the richest in resources, human resources and natural resources than any other nation on earth. But they sold us out. Chamber of Commerce, the chamber of slimy little low-life thieves that want to make as much money as they can. They're the ones that keep pushing this crap. They sold us out. There was a time when Walmart was only selling American product. It's a sellout. It's as simple as that.
Well, I look at a company like Walmart, and tell me if you agree with this. I said this, I think it was last week. I think that the next big trend, if somebody wants to take advantage of it, I feel like Trump has kind of shown the marketing strategy. He's kind of like been like, hey, like, you know, here's the treasure map. If you want to use it. I think that the new strategy in marketing and business and startups in America is just like what you're saying. Hey, built in the USA, like on big letters, like, hey,
you got
buy
it.
American.
Exactly.
Like, why don't I have, and so I'm sitting here thinking, like, why aren't people making shoes and the whole marketing campaign is made in America, hired, made by Americans, we pay Americans, instead of, you know, I mean, you don't even have to aim it like, hey, we don't build in China or Indonesia. It's just like, everybody knows everything's built in China or Indonesia or something like that. So it's just made in America. Socks, clothes, like you said. I mean, do you agree? Trump has kind of shown the people, like, here's the map. Now either take it or don't.
That's what I was saying to you. Everybody's into buying local. It's a very easy sale. We need to be a self-sustaining economy, and we can be. It's the multinationals that have taken over. Again, when I talk about Walmarts and Targets and Home Depot and Lowe's and Staples, there used to be stationery stores. There used to be hardware stores. There used to be mom and pop stores, dress shops, men's shops. The multinationals have taken over everything. You need to put back in place the laws, the Robertson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act, the Glass-Steagall Act that prohibited the filthy rich from getting richer, gobbling up everything. And all we've become are workers on the multinational plantation of Slavelandia. That's why you have it.
All right, let's do 5 more minutes to just put a bow on this and kind of just lay it all out. But Trump has the keys. I think he's given America the roadmap. Let me just ask you, I mean, it's there, but do you think we're ever going to see America go down the road of, okay, we're going to have pride in American products, we're going to buy American, we're going to hire American, or is it still going to be, it's cheaper over there, let's just do that?
We have to change our psychology and our mentality and our morality. And, you know, one of the major programs that I've launched and projects is Occupy Peace, www.occupypeace.com. You cannot have a country that's going to thrive spiritually, morally, and in every other way, ethically.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that in 90 seconds.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You know, Gerald, I saw where you were going with this, and so I want to go there with you. You know, I put this out yesterday. We're kind of pivoting to a different subject, but it's along the same spiritual path that Gerald was just getting into, how I pretty much refrained from doing much commentary on the shooting on Twitter or social media until yesterday. And I said, you know, everybody wants to point fingers, but really were all to blame. We all sat here and watched society decay. We all knew what was going on. We all watched morals and God and decency and modesty and integrity get flushed down the toilet while degeneracy and drugs and sex and violence got glorified. Like, oh, yeah, really? You're surprised at the world when that's what we love and cherish and promote instead of a healthy lifestyle and modesty and the good things and morals? And so I just was really thinking about this, Gerald, and I saw a tweet. And it really all kind of became clear to me. Now, I don't really care about Kylie Jenner or her husband, Travis Scott. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with, filling your home with roses for your girlfriend when you're super rich. I get it. Everybody wishes they could do that. Hell, if I had $10 million or whatever, I'd fill my whole house with roses for my girlfriend. But see, the problem, Gerald, is that people live through social media and they think that this is reality. So they see all these people with lavish lifestyles. Oh, they're rich. They're famous. They never have any problems. It's just love and happiness and money and everything and greatness. So they never even see real problems that people still have. And then really, you're not surprised that people get shoved down their throat, sex and violence and money and degeneracy, and they don't get any of it, but it's all shoved down their throat that people aren't going to start going nuts? I mean, Gerald, to me, this is the spiritual battle. When we're praising people like Cardi B, who's a porn star, performs at porn awards, brags about drugging men to steal their money. I mean, a total degenerate. She's lifted up, but modest lifestyles, integrity, values, morals, that's not cool. It's cool to be a slut. It's cool to be a degenerate. It's not cool to be modest. I mean, is that where you were going here, Gerald, as an overall issue?
Well, again, the fish rots from the head down. So let me tell you this. You know that these two crazy kids that killed all these people last week? You know, I don't like those people. I had enough of them. I'm going to blow their brains out. What's any different than, you know, Owen, I don't like that guy Gaddafi. I don't like what he's doing to his people. I want to get rid of him. Send the gang out and get rid of him. I want him out of there. I don't like that guy Assad. I don't like what he's doing.
They say, oh, no weapons of war. No weapons of war in America. Oh, so weapons of war everywhere else, though.
You hear what I'm saying? How about, you know that guy Saddam Hussein? We got to watch out for him. He has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. I don't like what he's doing. Let's get rid of him, even though it's a lie. What makes it any different? What makes it any different than Slick Willie Clinton? Every time he got caught with his pants down, he's bombing the hell out of some country. What makes it any different than him killing Clinton, Bushes, Obamas, slaughtering millions of people? I don't like that guy. Get rid of them. What makes that any different than some sick kid blowing other people's brains out?
Because tell it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan,
Gerald. No, it's not the plan. We're letting psychopaths destroy our lives, and that goes back to Occupy Peace. I'm on the most historic four corners here in America. Google it up. Most four historic corners in America, Kingston, New York. The only place in pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. The seeds of democracy were sown here. Most of America's Constitution comes from the Constitution that was written here when they wrote it for New York State. I do this because I honor the founding fathers, beginning with George Washington, not these little boys that couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. No foreign entanglements. All of the founding fathers.
I'll tell you what, we got to go to a break here. If you want to come back, you're on fire right now. If you want to come back, we'll do one more segment with Gerald Celente, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. I mean, it's just, it's all so crazy. How can you sort it out? You're shocked people are confused and disoriented? Gerald Celente is just on fire right now. I wanted to keep him around for one more segment, and then I promise I'll get your phone calls. In fact, let's go ahead and open up the lines right now. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. We'll aggregate your calls while Gerald Celente finishes off here. Gerald, why don't you finish talking about Occupy Peace and why you started that?
It's a very simple peace program. It's bring home all the troops and close the bases overseas. What the hell are we doing over there? What are we doing in Italy and Germany and Japan and all these places? Bring home the troops. Secure the homeland with our troops. Number two, put our troops to work rebuilding our third world infrastructure. We'll give them skills that they could use rather than running these moronic drills that are outdated. Now they'll have real skills. It's a work progress administration of the 1930s. I call it the Troops Progress Administration. Number three, Congress has not voted to go to war since World War II. Who the heck are they to do that? Abide by the Constitution. And number four, a referendum on each state ballot where we'll tell Congress how to vote because we're the ones that pay for the war with our money and our lives. So me, I consider myself, I don't want to die for war, but I'll fight for peace. And I consider myself a warrior of the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. We cannot elevate this country unless we have joy, liberty, love, and beauty. That's my belief. And you're not going to get that when you're always in a state of war and a fear of terror. You cannot expand. We need a renaissance. We need to concentrate on building this country rather than invading, overthrowing other countries, and losing. Haven't won one since World War II. So that's what Occupy Peace is. The country's not going to come back, in my estimation, until we really appreciate what America is. Liberty, love, joy, and beauty. And that's why I bought those buildings. And that's why I launched Occupy Peace.
Well, you know, I don't ever want to run for president or any office, but it's like, I'll tell you, if in 20 years we still have America and we're still in all of these overseas conflicts and proxy wars and 200 bases all over across the map.
800.
Thank you. How can there not be a presidential candidate? And I'm surprised Tulsi hasn't taken this platform. Maybe she will. The number one campaign issue, I think it's a win. I don't know how you lose with this. We're bringing the troops home. My first thing as president, I'm bringing the troops home. I'm signing a bill. We're done. We're done spilling $1 trillion in other countries. We're done. How has no president done that? Is that how powerful the military-industrial complex is with funding these campaigns?
Listen to General Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II. Two-term Republican president, his farewell address, January 21st, 1961. He warns the Americans that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Here we are. Could you imagine if we put our resources in Lockheed and all these companies into building the 21st century rather than building weapons and antiquated weapons at that? The F-35s? How about the FUC-35s, huh? A piece of crap that they are. How about tanks? Oh, yeah, you want to talk about outmoded? Why don't you get spears and shields? All this is doing is enriching the few. We need to enrich the nation. And again, we cannot do that. Look, if you're in arguments all the time, if you're living in hell with all your relationships that you have with people, are you going to expand morally, financially, physically, mentally, ethically? You can't.
Well, Gerald, it's been a great interview with you. We'll have to get you on again soon and continue to monitor this gold thing. You've been all over it as well happening in China.
One quick thing. We're very concerned that we're entering into the first stages of the greatest depression. This thing's going down quick. And when we get back, we could talk more about it. But we're telling people to prepare and really start looking at things for the way they're going on. Because you might not have a job, you might not have a business, and you might not have a house. And with depression so bad, you might not have a life.
Well, and look, you know, I was going to ask you, you've got the super male vitality right there on your desk.
Oh, yeah. Keeps me going, man.
It's not quite boogie time, though. I mean, it's only 5'11 up there. I mean, maybe it is boogie time for you.
Well, you got to boogie before the lights go out because tomorrow is iffy.
So Gerald Celente, a big fan of super male vitality. He's obviously a super male. as you could witness here today on the War Room. But hey, I mean, it is a serious thing, folks. The economy collapses, the grid collapses. This is very possible, real stuff. I mean, we don't like having to talk about these things in emergency situations, but hey, guess what? We're prepared. We have food. We sell emergency food at InfoWarsStore.com. In fact, we got 50% off right now, the InfoWars Select Storable Food. I mean, Gerald, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, I hate to talk about this stuff, but, you know, this is a talk show. The more I see these shootings, and see, again, I don't like it, but I know that the government isn't my daddy. The government is going to walk around protecting me. So I see this stuff, and now I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go anywhere without a gun anymore. I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to be in my house without a gun on my hip anymore. It's getting that crazy.
Look, when this thing crashes, you're going to see crazy really break out. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it.
Well, and a lot of, I mean, they've already done the studies, and they say, what is it, like within a week, if there's a total grid collapse, within a week, people are going to start eating each other.
Yeah.
Now, that's I don't think it would get to that. We've seen enough stuff. I think this is just like worst case scenario. But the point is, folks, just don't even want to be involved in a situation that could potentially get to that. Have storable foods for your family. We've got the InfoWars Life Select 1 year. It's 50% off. There's free shipping right now. Why would you not have insurance you can eat? Why would you not want to be prepared for yourself and your family if something gets bad? Because you're not going to be able to go to the store. You're not going to be able to get water. We have life. Do we still sell the water filter straws? I know we sell the water bottle. So just, you know, get yourself prepared. And we've got all kinds of preparation stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. And that's how you support us. So let's just get a final word from Gerald Celente out the door. You know, Gerald, it's really a crazy time to be alive. Yeah, there's the survival spring straw right there. We got it on sale right now. It's $20. I mean, it's the perfect thing for an emergency. I mean, you want to have water supplies, but yeah, you run out, you see a spring, you can go drink with this straw. So, Gerald, though, what do you make right now of the Democrats doing everything they can to label Trump a racist, a white supremacist, and all of this stuff?
It's a waste of time. A waste of time and energy, helps people with nothing to see. Look, as I keep saying, if you tune into the news if you want to know what happened, if you want to know what's going to happen, subscribe to the Trends Journal, because all they're doing is repeating stupid stuff. We give you tomorrow's news today. They give you all this propaganda stuff that you can't use. And one of my other things that's very important that I say, when things go down and we think they're going to go down hard and fast, guns, gold, and a getaway plan, GCs, 3Gs. Because if there's a nuclear explosion, if there's a terrorist strike, if there's a wipeout, this is new millennium warfare, is a whole different game. And when all else fails, by the way, they take you to war. And if there's war breaks out, you're going to want to know where to go, how to get there the fastest, and you're not going to want to take major roads. And guess what? Your electronic stuff isn't going to help you get there. It's not going to be high tech.
Well, and here's what
it's
I'm worried about,
brain
Gerald.
Power.
Here's what I'm worried about. I mean, you've got Iran worrying about the mother of all wars. You've got Russia talking about the war that could end our wars. I think it was Einstein that said, you know, I don't know what World War IV or World War III will be fought with, but World War V or IV, whatever you want to say, will be fought with sticks and stones. So, I mean, you know, I hope it doesn't get there, but you really do worry when you see all this happening. And I'm afraid, too, that the reason why you have the Democrats fomenting all this racial division is because they see a world war building. If America's at war with itself in a new world war, then America will be just done, and they know it. So, Gerald Celente, TrendsJournal.com, always a pleasure. Great stuff today. We'll be right back with your phone calls on the other side of this break. During this break, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself some emergency food supplies.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I promised I would take calls, and so we're going to go out to the phone lines. And my plan was kind of, I didn't really give a topic out, but yesterday I I promised people I'd open up the phone lines to get your take on the mass shootings. But it doesn't really appear that's what anybody is calling in on. So I guess we'll just take your calls on anything for the next couple segments. And then I really need to get into some of this news. The geopolitical news. The leftist insanity news. I got a whole stack of that. Cultural news. And then, man, I'll tell you. I've never really done news aggregation by source as much as by, like, boil down of other aggregation. I don't know how to really put this. Basically, I'm now going directly, instead of going to Drudge and Twitter and, you know, other people's sites that aggregate news and listening to talk radio, I'm going directly to sources now, because I've never really done that. And so I'm going to WashingtonPost.com, I'm going to NewYorkTimes.com, and every day I just am just stunned. It's just like, my God, this is anti-America front to bottom. I mean, I couldn't believe. I mean, just look at these headlines, and I promise I'm going to go to your calls. Just look at these headlines. You log on to the Washington Post today. These are all on the front page. Rise of far-right violence leads some to call for realignment of post-9/11 national security priorities. Wait a second. What about all the leftist violence? It's like it doesn't even exist. And folks, look, there's stuff I can't say, but I mean, come on. You can't see what happened in El Paso? I mean, give me a break. This one is, it's like having a rubber chicken saying, hey, look at this chicken right here. You want to cook it for dinner? You're like, that's a rubber. I can hear it squeaking when you grab it. Oh no, white meat chicken. So there is nothing else. Just far-right violence, white supremacists, KKK, Trump. That's the Washington Post all day long. Carl Lewis, former Olympian, calls Trump a racist and misogynist. That's front page news at the Washington Post. Teleprompter Trump meets Twitter Trump as the president responds to mass slayings. Basically saying, oh, what the Trump read on the teleprompter isn't real. What he tweets out is real. He's a racist, misogynist, bigot. Okay, fine. Like, why don't you disavow white supremacy, President Trump? White supremacy is the worst thing ever. I totally disavow it. All of them should just die immediately. I don't believe this president. He loves white supremacy. He wants them all to live forever. Renewed calls for gun control after dual massacres test a deeply divided NRA. Again, the Washington Post is in this article pretending like people want to turn their guns in. People at the NRA, their hearts are torn. No, actually, you want to know the truth? People are ticked off at the NRA. People are leaving the NRA because they're not hardcore enough. Yeah, but see, they don't live in L.A. and New York or Washington, D.C. Again, we're just on the Washington Post. El Paso always has lived in and loved in two countries. Now it grieves that way, too. No, El Paso is in Texas in the United States of America. But no, you see, El Paso is Mexican territory, too. That's on the Washington Post. This is the front page of the Washington Post. 110% anti-American propaganda. I mean, just smell that. I mean, that's what fake news smells like. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with Dennis in Virginia. Go ahead, Dennis. You're on the War Room.
Hey, Owen. Yeah, howdy. You know, it's a tragedy what happened in El Paso and Dayton, but I tell you, you know, they keep referring to it as white supremacy. I think it's, you know, they need to be more worried about left supremacy. That's what it's about. And, you know, if they want to talk about El Paso, we got an El Paso in our country every day with all the murders from illegal aliens, not to mention the deaths of Americans from the drunk drivers, the robberies, the rapes, and all the other crimes associated with it. How come they not say anything about that?
How about the drug crimes? How about the political assassinations in Mexico? I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah, I mean, thousands in this country die every year, but they're not complaining about that.
Yeah, but see, you know the truth. You know the answer. It's all about gun control. You have to turn your guns in. That's what tyrants want. That's what dictators want. That's what authoritarian regimes want. And, you know, here's the biggest problem here. You notice when you finally got a leftist, progressive, Democrat news organization to host a true debate on this issue, and they had Dana Loesch on a stage, what happened? She tore them all limb from limb with her points, and they had nothing except a bunch of chants and then a bunch of insults. And then what happened? They never had the debate again. Because I'd like to ask, I mean, seriously, they never do it, but I'd like to ask these Democrats, okay, so you want to turn your guns into the government. You want to have the government confiscate the guns. They say, yeah. You say, okay, so Trump is like Hitler, though? What do they say to that? So the government's your daddy? The government's supposed to protect you? I mean, it's like, Dennis, I'm just floored at how people have lost their basic instinct for the desire to be free.
Yeah, and not only that, you got to be able to protect yourself. You got to be able to survive, you know, especially if everything goes crazy. I mean, I'm definitely going to order me an AR-15, a Smith & Wesson before it's over with, before it gets too far down the road. You know, I live in a rural area because you don't know what's going to happen here. But I want to mention about the Alexa Pure water filter.
Yes.
I ordered that. I mean, it's awesome. And you know what? And I did a lot of research on that, you know, for the competitors, the value, the things the filter can't filter. You can't beat it for $150. I mean, if everything goes crazy, I can filter rainwater, river water, any kind of water.
Well, and I'm so glad you said that, Dennis, because I'm so glad you said that, Dennis, because, you know, I mean, look, it's a big thing. I mean, our air filters, I think they're on sale right now too. Our water filters, there's the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system on sale for $150 right now. That's $100 off. Here's the thing, Dennis. You know, we already did the market research, and I don't blame you. You're a smart consumer. Go out and do the market research for yourself. But the truth is, we already did the market research and found the best water filters, the best air filters, the best supplements at the best price. We already hit that nexus point. So I appreciate you doing that due diligence and then proving us that we did the same due diligence and we were right.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for taking my call, Owen. You guys are great, man. I watch you guys every day.
All right, Dennis. Thank you so much. All right, we're about to go to a break. And we'll take some of the calls. Doesn't seem like the callers are too fired up about things, though, today. So I'll probably just clear out these callers and we will just get into some of this crazy news. Again, please go to InfoWarsStore.com. It's the one-year Banniversary special. That's right, the one-year Banniversary special. The Alex Jones Unhuman 1 year ago today, banned from the internet. So we've got huge specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Up to 60% off the InfoWars Life supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. Go to InfoWarsStore.com during this break, and we'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Demand for bulletproof backpacks surging in the wake of shootings. Well, it's really sad, but this is the reality. Oh, man. See, I got to control myself here because I just could go down so many paths. I need to stay focused on where I'm at, but man. We knew this was coming, folks. And, I mean, if you've been listening to InfoWars for a long time, we told you there's industrial-level pedophilia going on. There are sex cults. They are international in their reach. They are embedded in political positions, business positions, academia positions, bureaucracy positions. And if we were to ever effectively combat their stranglehold on culture and society, they would start winding up deranged individuals to go out, commit mass shootings, and then blame their political opposition. You think I'm happy that that's what's going on and that InfoWars has been totally vindicated? No, I'll be happy when these pedophiles are hanging from a tree. But in wake of the recent shootings, demand for bulletproof backpacks surging in the wake of shootings. Well, just like we tell you, hey, we've got emergency food supplies. Hey, we've got water filters. These are things you need. We've got bulletproof backpacks as well. Now, this is a very popular item. I was actually stunned to find out we still have this in inventory. And so we don't even plug this. And I have a feeling that, in fact, I may start a marketing campaign on this tomorrow. Oh, we are out. Okay. See, I was stunned. I thought there is no way. So you have to join a waiting list to get on this. So I'm not sure how long that would take, but because we literally have the best body armor. It was like the most advanced ever when we got it 2 years ago, including these backpacks. They may be back in store at InfoWarsStore.com, but monitor that for yourself. Okay. Let's just go back out to the phone lines here. Let's go to Eric in Florida. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Destroy the Destroyer. How's everything going today?
I just so
happen to be wearing mass murderer's degree, gun controls works. Sure.
Hey, didn't you hear? Trump is Hitler, so let's turn the guns into Trump.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to say a couple things. Who was it that, was it Hillary or one of your buddies that said that it smells like Walmart people?
I think that was that Peter Stroke, I think, or Lisa Page?
Time to do a little demonization memes. as well as that, that's pretty much all I had to say, and you can take that wherever you want to go, and I'm up.
All right, well, apparently, I mean, speaking of Walmart, apparently there was another shooting situation at a Walmart. Yeah, it was Peter Stroke. But I'm not sure what it was. It may have just been a personal conflict. But that'll turn into a mass shooting on the reports. They'll put it down on the official report like, oh, mass shooting. Because that's how they inflate the numbers. Thanks for the call, Eric. Oh, like they got caught. I'm telling you, these people are so corrupt, man. They rig temperatures at airports so that they can report the temperature is higher. They report a gun going off in a neighborhood as a mass shooting so they can report that mass shootings are up. And then they'll do this. This happened like 2 weeks ago. There was a tropical storm building off the coast of Florida, you may remember. And it didn't really amount to much, but when it was about to make landfall, they immediately sent out all the emergency notifications and started publishing hurricane hits the U.S., hurricane, and it like wasn't even a hurricane. And then it's like, they're manipulating those stats too. They're now, so they manipulate the temperature to fit their agenda. They manipulate weather reports to promote their agenda. This is what these people do. They fake news to promote their agenda. Everything about them is fake. I can't even. Let's just go back. Let's go to Chris in Kentucky. Go ahead, Chris.
Owen, what an honor to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
You know, I tell you, I'm just, the reason why I get so livid about with the military, what Gerald Celente was talking about, look at our border right now. You just pointed out the drug cartels coming in. How many are getting killed down there, not being reported?
Oh, by the way, did you see, maybe see if we can pull up the B-roll, a major Brazilian drug dealer tries to sneak out of jail, and he's got this outfit on, it's a disguise, and it's like, holy smokes, and so people are like, this could be going on at the border, He actually got found hung today, according to news. But yeah, the point is, the border is a total disaster.
Yep, it sure is. And that's what, when you said preparation and what you were just talking about, I've got storable food. Folks, get these products, okay? The number one thing is you got to do, and if chaos or crisis happens in your city or whatever, wherever you are, you got to be, the number one thing is healthy. Get these products. X2, all the bone broth, all these products. You've got to be healthy and have your brain functioning, because if they, you know, the globalists want your brains dead, because brain dead, the term, because they don't want you to think, and they have this takeover. Be real, folks. This, you know, the grid situation, it can be hacked. All it could take is a computer or a 50 caliber, like Alex talked about, to knock out a grid in a city. This is real stuff. And we got to, and I'm, it's just people, I've talked to people, some I woke up, some I haven't. Some of them are like, look at me like a deer in a headlight. You know, it's real, folks. Just be prepared. I hope it doesn't happen, but you got to be on your guard. And the number one thing is to be healthy and alert and be confounded. That's the main thing. Get that storable food and water filters.
Yeah, it's like everybody buys in to the system of insurance, you know, health insurance, car insurance. You got all these life insurance, homeowners insurance, but I mean, insurance for everything. But like, what if the system collapses? Who's got insurance for that? So it's like it's all part of the same system that could collapse, and there's, you can't even get off the system unless you go independent and you have your own system of insurance. Thanks for the call, Chris. Let's squeeze one more in. Jefferson in Virginia, go ahead.
Hey, Owen, I like what you and Gerald were talking about the local economy and getting the American public to buy American and manufacture American, but I don't think that can be accomplished while we're on the fiat currency Federal Reserve note. We would have to have a local currency issued by the Treasury to make that work, where everybody would have to pay a portion of their taxes in the local currency, not just in fiat.
Well, I see where you're going. I see where you're going with this, and I think the way to do it is, I mean, Jeff Bezos isn't the worst at this, but you'd have to have the big rich people putting their systems and their manufacturing in the United States. Ford, Apple, all of them, they'd have to do it in the United States. That's the only way it would really work, because that would get the money to stay here instead of going other places.
Right. So they would have to have a local currency to make them do that, where they would have to pay taxes in that local currency, at least a portion of it, to make it something they would have to do in order to accumulate those dollars. The other issue I have is the 8chan being shut down by the internet service provider. That should cause the Trump administration to say, we're going to shut you down and make you a national company for doing that. You say, we're
yeah, Facebook doesn't get shut down when there's live shootings on there. Twitter doesn't get shut down when Antifa promotes violence there. And by the way, thanks for the call, Jefferson. By the way, owner of 8chan says manifesto was not uploaded by the Walmart shooter. Folks, I'll tell you on the other side. It's just, it's a rubber chicken.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room. I'm going to touch on some news here. We'll squeeze in a couple more calls. Fleckus Talks is joining me in the next hour. What do we know about the El Paso shooting? Well, it's the one that the media has chosen to really hyper-politicize and focus on, and barely even mention the Dayton, Ohio one. Why? Well, we all know why. The Dayton, Ohio shooter was, without a doubt, an avowed leftist, an avowed Democrat supporter. Now, I want to be clear, because we still don't really know a motive. And I don't want to get involved in this politicizing everything. I mean, the guy murdered his sister too, right? So it's like, well, what is that? Is that political to murder your sister? But the point is, they don't even talk about that. Why? Because he was an avowed leftist. Now, whether or not that had anything to do with his shooting, I think it's still up for debate. He was obviously deranged. He was obviously a leftist. And look at what the police did. They released all the security footage. Now, what's happening in El Paso? This gets all the media attention. This gets all the political attention. This is allowing Kamala Harris to raise millions now in campaign funding. She's going to try to use this to bolster her approval numbers. But how is it you have multiple eyewitnesses saying there were multiple shooters clad in black? We have no images of that, no surveillance tape. How is it he was able to do so much damage with only one magazine? Why did you have a manifesto uploaded to 8chan, not by the shooter? Why was the shooter's social media scrubbed and then framed as if he was a conservative? Why was it in El Paso, where Antifa just announced they're about to engage in domestic terror? It's not like somebody would want to foment violence to blame Trump and conservatives in that area. Who would want to do that? Now, I'll be honest. I'm not one to read a shooter's manifesto. And I think that more than anything is because I'm just such a contrarian. And that's what the shooter wants. That's what everybody wants. So I'm just like, how about I don't read from a psychopath murderer? But it's news. And so I went and read the manifesto that was uploaded to 8chan by who? I don't know. The owner of 8chan, I guess, doesn't even know. But it wasn't the shooter. The reason why I was so curious about this manifesto is because I heard people talking about how the individual was deranged and they were surprised that he could even carry out something like this. And then you read the manifesto, and I have an editor's eye. I was an editor for I don't know how many years in high school and in college. But I mean, folks, I read mainline stories dozens a day, and I can't even – I mean, I'm telling you, most mainstream articles have grammatical errors, punctuation errors, capitalization errors, spelling errors, what have you. It's natural. We don't write much anymore. Our keyboards and computers spell check and correct for us. So, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. I don't make a big thing of it, but my point is I see it. Because, you know, from all those years editing, or you're reading and then you notice, oh, you missed a comma, you missed a period, missed a quotation mark, you misspelled, you missed whatever. No, like, no mistakes. Perfect. Perfect grammar, perfect spelling, perfect pronunciation, perfect English, perfect everything. And people are sitting here saying, well, there's no way the individual could have written that manifesto. You ever seen a rubber chicken before? Hey, can you guys pull up a rubber chicken on the screen for me, please? Can I get a rubber chicken? In fact, I wish I had a rubber chicken in the studio. Let me just get a rubber chicken on the screen here. Yeah, you know, I'm going to cook you a nice fried chicken dinner. And it's going to be the best fried chicken dinner you've ever had in your life. And so let me just pick out the chicken for you so that you can see it. How about that chicken right here? That looks like a rubber chicken. Okay, how about this one? This one look good? No, actually, that looks even more fake. What are you talking about, fake? That is a chicken. That I'm going to make you a chicken dinner. Why is the chicken yellow and mouth is just a red circle? What? Stop asking questions. Here, how about this one? Well, this one looks a little more realistic, but clearly still a rubber chicken. This is a chicken. I'm trying to cook you fried chicken dinner, and you won't even accept my chicken. So that's fried chicken. And the El Paso shooter was a big Trump supporter who wanted to do this because of Trump. And that's fried chicken dinner. Let me see my fried chicken dinner again. Let me see my fried chicken dinner right here. This is our fried chicken dinner. We're all going to be sharing this fried chicken dinner now. So just remember that. When they bring up the El Paso shooter every time, let me see my fried chicken dinner. There it is. All right, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Eric in Michigan. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, and thanks for taking my call. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the video that I posted of the mayor in the city council meeting, and he had the InfoWars hexagon polo shirt on. Did you happen to catch that or no?
Wait, in a what meeting?
City council.
I don't think I saw that. No.
That's too bad. Well, anyways, the reason why I called is, you know, up here, and I'm sort of in the thumb area of Michigan, and I'm retired, and the guys that I know in law enforcement, they're not going around and collecting anybody's guns. So my question is always, who do these people think is going to be going around here knocking on people's doors to get their guns? Because it's not the police.
No, it's not going to be the police, at least in mass. It's not going to be the military. Maybe they think they can amass UN troops. They're already trying that. Maybe they think they got enough dirty cops. And by that, I mean, you know, FBI agents, CIA, what have you. But it's not going to be enough. And they know it. That's why they need the gun confiscation. Because they know there's too many guns out there. And they hope that you'll just turn them over willingly.
Absolutely. No, and that's never going to happen. I mean, I don't know much about the rest of the country. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this while I was on hold. The fact that years ago, we used to get this sort of information from the World Band radios, you know. And now I have it on my phone with the InfoWars app. I can plug it into the input in my car and listen to it while I'm driving around, so I can turn all my friends on to it, and it's great, man. I just absolutely love it. I love the technology. But, man, the evil people out there have certainly figured out how to use it against the average person, and it's kind of scary.
Well, that's really what it comes down to, again, to me. Because, it's like I said, people get this weird worldview based on what they see on social media, and it's so removed from reality.
Right.
It's so inaccurate a depiction of what real life is actually like. And so, yeah, all day people just see sex and violence and degeneracy and rich, famous people, oh, yeah, like all their lives are nothing but happiness and cheer and joy. No, they're not. They got to poop just like everyone else. They got bills just like everyone else. But they're not going to show you that on social media. They're going to show you, I just bought my girlfriend a million roses. I just brought a brand new yacht. I'm out here on the boat with 10 strippers. And so the average person is like, well, I'm never going to see that. I'm never going to get out of this hole. And what do? They get bitter because they think everyone else is living this life of luxury. And then it's even more insulting, and this is where the spiritual aspect comes in. It's even more insulting when they put people over you who are total degenerates. Because then you're like, wow, not only do I not get to live life to the fullest like these great people, deep down you know they're nothing but degenerates, and they're walking all over us.
Well, so some people, anyway, they're not walking all over everybody. They're not walking over you. They're not walking over me and my family and the circles that I run with. So we're ready. We, you know, I don't know if, Michigan's been known as Militigan about around here for a long time.
Friends in Michigan, let me tell you, my friends in Michigan, thanks for the call, Eric. When the first sign they saw of Trump going against bump stock bans, they started burning Trump hats. Huh. I mean, that's Ted Nugent company. That's hunting country out there.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, there's all kinds of craziness going on, but industrial-level pedophilia is about to be exposed, and I'm not saying Trump's perfect, but it's not a coincidence it's happening while he's president. So let's not forget about Jeffrey Epstein and the massive FBI informant pedophile network.
pleaded not guilty to federal charges. He's accused of recruiting a network of young girls he sexually abused at his mansions in Florida and New York. No mention of this island, but authorities say he declared it his primary residence with a massive main house, eccentric statues, and manicured lines of palm trees.
For over 100 years, Western intelligence agencies, themselves infiltrated by secret societies out of Britain, used sex operatives to compromise targets who weren't just agents of foreign governments, but who were in outside power structures that this group didn't control, but was seeking to get control. Cecil Rhodes wrote about this in several books on his plan for world government. He had the main British Empire behind him and supporting him. They set up roundtable groups across the world, like the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921 in New York, to take over our governments using payoffs, using sex operatives, and more. They found quickly that if you tried to set somebody up or blackmail them over cheating on their wife, it wouldn't work. But if you could induce them to have sex with an underage person or a child, you had them by the short hairs for the rest of their lives.
Epstein could have faced life in prison, but only ended up with 13 months behind bars. Do we know why he got such a favorable deal?
Well, he was very politically connected. Some of his closest friends were world leaders, ex-presidents, royalty, actors, actresses, people in philanthropy and business. He used those connections as well as his financial means to hire some of the best attorneys in the country.
Jeffrey Epstein was recruited by these systems in New York City more than 30 years ago to begin recruiting little girls as a pimp on an industrial scale. He reportedly had recruited hundreds and hundreds and hundreds a year. That's thousands over the years, to go out and then set up other people and bring them under his control.
Epstein owns a sprawling ranch in the state, complete with airplane hangar and landing strip, where the attorney general says some of the abuse took place.
This is a very large residence in a very isolated part of New Mexico.
There was clearly a cover-up by the FBI at the highest levels because, again, he was going out on a mass scale, on an industrial scale, recruiting sometimes hundreds of young women and girls a month to frame people, to dial them in, to compromise them. And that's just phase one.
He has been doing construction on Great St. James up until very, very recently. We're told that this white shed was built only a few months ago. The work being done right up until his arrest, bringing new attention to this tropical hideaway and raising new questions about what may have happened here.
Then, as people get deeper into the cult, they start getting them into religious rituals. They become more and more dark, more and more satanic. Then the children get younger. And through that process, it's basically trauma-based mind control of the children and the adults, the cult finds out who is truly twisted and dark and who will carry out certain operations no matter how horrible.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, I'm going to be joined by Fleckus Talks. But first, it is the one-year banniversary of Alex Jones. The banniversary special video airs after this.
So I don't know why they've been successful in pushing everybody into these little ghettos of these Facebooks and these tweets. And these Instagrams, these Instas.
Now four media giants are banding together to take down controversial InfoWars content from their site.
YouTube, Facebook, and Apple
all announcing they're removing his content from their platforms.
Yesterday, Alex Jones became an unperson.
Apple last night removed the entire library of Alex Jones's podcast from their store.
The conspiracy theories are beyond the realm, are not only beyond being offensive, they're dangerous, and we don't do enough in telling people out there right now this morning, people who read newspapers, exactly who these people are and what they believe.
I am here because there is a concerted effort by the Democratic Party and multinational corporations in big tech to silence conservative and nationalist and populist voices ahead of this critical midterm election. And the big tech companies and the head of Apple admit that they met with Senator Warner, who's running this whole thing, to begin shutting down conservatives, or the Democrats threatened to federalize big tech if they did not basically roll over to them. So the Republicans left a vacuum there by not coming in with regulations to say you cannot violate people's free speech.
The real election meddling is by Facebook and Google and others that are shadow banning people, that are outright banning people, and that are blocking conservatives involved in their own First Amendment political speech.
The idea of the shadow ban is that you ban someone, but they don't know they've been banned. Because they keep posting, but no one sees their content.
Even the New York Times calls it a crackdown on conservatives and a plan to deplatform conservatives from the internet and communicating with each
other.
Just like communist China. This is dangerous authoritarianism, and they've packaged silencing Americans who are popular and well-spoken, as Tucker Carlson said about me on Fox News, not because what I say is bad, but because what I say is effective and true and popular.
Hey, Jack, I appreciate you supporting the First Amendment,
but I have a right to face my accusers, Jack.
You are incredibly shameful.
How are you doing, Alex?
You're just, look at you, look at you are literally an anti-American, anti-free speech coward.
Who are you, man?
Yeah,
who is
sure.
this guy? I swear to God, I don't
yeah,
know
you better
who
hope you're
going
to be platforming. Tens of millions of views.
InfoWars.
Bigger than Rush Limbaugh. He knows who InfoWars is. Playing this joke over here.
If at that point somebody decides they're going to scroll past that and go find Alex Jones, well, they were looking for him speaking with anyone.
And they tell Congress that they're not censoring anybody, even though we have all the Google documents, we have internal Google videos, we have internal Twitter videos, where their executives talk about how they're censoring everyone.
I think as someone with a PhD in computer science and 5 years of working at one of the world's top computer science companies, I don't see any doubt that it's very politically biased.
Your censorship will not work anymore, Sundar. We're aware of your activities, trying to muzzle the American people and gaming your search results. Google is evil. Google is evil. Google is...
In 2016, Google's search algorithm likely impacted undecided voters in a way that shifted at least 2.6 million votes to Hillary Clinton, whom I supported. I know this because I preserved more than 13,000 election-related searches prior to Election Day, and Google's search results were significantly biased in favor of Secretary Clinton.
When I joined Google, I saw a lot of employees being mistreated and abused and harassed for sharing conservative views or just for questioning company policies.
I don't get a day in court. They lie about me. Google only puts lies up. All the top searches are lies about me and my family. And that guy helps round up political dissidents, and then his people come to lie to Congress over and over and over again, and we don't get to respond to them. So Google is helping build censorship systems in China for a global social score they've tested there to totally control every aspect of our lives.
There's this very peculiar background where Google is working with the Chinese communist government and not with the U.S. military. So the Project Maven decision was a decision not to work with AI with the U.S. military, but they're working with the communist Chinese. And so the question is, you know, from the outside is just what in the world is going on there?
In 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out, and the methods that they're using are invisible, they're subliminal, they're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences, and I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
But I think the corporate dying dinosaur media has bit off more than it can chew, and what you've done is only going to make people be that much stronger and fight for free speech that much more. But I'll say this, shame on the mainstream corporate media, shame on the mainstream corporate media for not defending the First Amendment, but instead attack dogging, calling for federal regulators to shut down independent free press working with big tech.
Time is not forever. How many more moons and sunrises will you see in your life rise and fall? There's not that many. It's a small amount. So for people to be saying with this attitude, oh, I'll get on with my life and my greatness sometime.
No.
No, you can't.
InfoWar. The most banned network in the world.
And today is the one-year banniversary of Alex Jones off of social media. Now, you just saw, amazing, it's like we, you know, let me just say this. We're about to be joined by Fleckus Talks, who's incredible. And he was out, or excuse me, he was covering the Baltimore cleanup. So we're going to get into that with him and some other stuff. But man, Alex Jones said all of that to Congress before the Project Veritas videos came out, before the Google executives came to Project Veritas. And notice how everything Alex said was right. I mean, you know. But this is important. Trump tweets this out. Sundar Pichai of Google was in the Oval Office working very hard to explain how much he liked me, what a great job the administration is doing, that Google was not involved with China's military, that they didn't help crooked Hillary over me in the 2016 election, and that they are not planning to illegally subvert the 2020 election, despite all that has been said to the contrary. It sounded all good until I watched Kevin Cernicke, a Google engineer, say terrible things about what they did in 2016 and that they want to make sure that Trump loses in 2020. Lou Dobbs stated that this is a fraud on the American public. Peter Schweizer stated with certainty that they suppressed negative stories on Hillary Clinton and boosted negative stories on Donald Trump. All very illegal. We are watching Google very closely. So that sounds to me like little Sundar Pichai, little Pichai, came into the White House to, oh, Donald Trump. And Trump was just like, no. We know what you're doing, and you just lied to my face, jerk. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. Let's get Fleckus Talks on air, and let's just get Fleckus' reaction before we talk about Baltimore and some other stuff that he's involved with. So, what do you make of the one-year banniversary of Alex Jones? What do you make of Trump tweeting about the meeting with Sundar Pichai today?
Hey, Owen. Happy banniversary.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, Alex was ahead of this one. I was following this really close, and the things he was saying was way ahead of his time. So now that it all comes out and proves him right, this has happened before. And it's kind of scary now because usually with these things, the people who speak first are kind of demonized and called crazy. Now we're kind of dealing with the actual reality. And since then, you guys have been banned. So it's kind of a matter of, you know, who's left to speak up. And hopefully those voices are strong enough.
Now, you were at the social media summit. Do you think that the president and his administration is really keyed in and focused on what Google and big tech is doing here? Do you think they're going to rein them in?
I think so. I do think so. I think the president realizes that social media is key to his 2016 victory and his potential 2020 victory. So I think he knows that if he wants to have a fair election or at least make it fair as possible, that there needs to be some oversight here and something needs to be done in the next few months. Because if it doesn't, you know, they'll be able to manipulate enough votes to take the election away from him.
Well, I really hope so, not just for the purposes of the election, but I mean, my goodness, just look at all the division and race baiting and lies. And it's just destroying this country. And it's just destroying this country. And it all gets promoted. But let's get in on the other side with Fleckus Talks and to talk about the what happened in Baltimore, where a bunch of Trump supporters went up to Baltimore to clean up the city. Was it the ACLU that helped them? No. Was it Black Lives Matter that helped them? No. Was it the Women's March that helped them? No.
Infowars.com/show.
Good morning, everybody. This is Scott Pressler. I'm now in West Baltimore. We're here because we want to help pick up trash and clean up the city. You know, this isn't just about Trump or anti-Representative Cummings or anything. This is about we want to help our fellow citizen, and we want to come together as a family because we're all Americans. And I ask you to please post on social media today, hashtag Americans Helping Americans. Thank you. Good morning. We are out right now picking up trash in West Baltimore. This is only our first shift, and we already have about 50 people out here picking up trash. We're not only picking up trash, but also weed whacking, beautifying, picking up weeds. This is truly an act of love from the community coming together. Not only West Baltimore, not only Maryland, but we also have Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Jersey. Thank you for everybody to coming together in this act of love. My hand, so I could tell Mr. Trump that you were thankful.
I'm very thankful. And he opened up a can of worms with the lies are coming out of District 7.
And this is Miss Dupe, and I'll never forget.
Yes. District 7.
District yes, 7. Ma'am.
You know. I really like being able to spot potential and saying, that is a champion right there. That's somebody you want on your team. You're going to win. And I was always really good at doing that with sports, but it's really unimpactful. But man, doing it in the political world is a lot of fun. With people like Caitlin Bennett, with people like Fleckus Talks, with people like Scott Pressler. And I remember getting Scott on. He's so busy now with his activism, he doesn't even have time to come on anymore. But I remember before Scott was big and he was just doing this just out of the genuineness of his heart. Now he's huge and he has such a social impact. I mean, just honestly, what a hero. I think his next project should be filling in potholes or something. But Fleckus, now correct me if I'm wrong, you actually had a correspondent out in Baltimore for this event, correct?
Yes, I had a Fleckus Talks correspondent who covered the cleanup and then also interviewed some residents a couple days before.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to you for expanding your operation and starting to hire your own correspondents. Wow, that's great. Good for you, Fleckus Talks. But so what was it like? Because you don't really hear too much about an event like this, what people coming together to clean up trash. I mean, at least it's not publicized. I'm sure it happens, but this had a big impact. A lot of people showed up. A lot of locals showed up in appreciation. So what was just kind of the boil down from Fleckus Talks news coverage of the Baltimore pickup?
Definitely. The Baltimore narrative was in the news the last few weeks, and I definitely saw some issues with it. Basically, I think the biggest problem the right's facing these days when we're debating the left is not necessarily the ideas that we're promoting, but it's actually the framing of these ideas. So with the Baltimore situation, the framing of the debate was always Donald Trump said these things, Donald Trump's a racist, Donald Trump hates, you know, minorities because of how he spoke about Elijah Cummings district. And I knew that that wasn't correct. I knew that there was some light that needed to be shined in that dark spot. So I decided to send a correspondent out there to interview some people. And in reality, it's not about racism. It's actually about the people. So in the short term, the left is using the residents of West Baltimore as political pawns, almost saying, oh, Donald Trump's a racist, Donald Trump hates you. But when you go actually ask them personally what they think about what's going on, they thought Donald Trump's tweets were appropriate. They thought Elijah Cummings needs to be held accountable and he hasn't been managing the city resources properly. And they think that, you know, if Donald Trump was able to help them, they'd be happy to receive that help. So what I'm noticing is whenever these narratives are combating against each other, the right versus the left, if we can defeat the framing of the issue and actually talk about the real problems that these inner cities are facing, you're going to wake up a lot of people in the meantime. A lot of people will get red-pilled by this process. People that lived in Baltimore who didn't maybe follow politics too much now realize that corruption led to the situation that they're in now, and Donald Trump could be their way out.
Well,
I lived in St. Louis enough to realize that there is no real political activism in the city. In fact, there's actually a great individual. He's been on the show before, Henry Davis. Really an incredible story, but he's engaged in a lot of political activism in St. Louis. My point is, though, it's like you said, I mean, it's really just leading by example, but also not being afraid to wear a Trump hat or wear your, you know, whatever it is on your sleeve to say, because here's the thing, again, like I got off track. Democrats never go to the inner cities. They never go. They don't do publicity appearances. They don't go. They don't do anything. There's no point. They already got the vote, so they just don't care. So this is kind of almost like a renaissance revolutionary moment I think that conservatives need to have now. Political activism in the inner cities is a void right now. Democrats just think they own these people's votes. A little activism can go a long way.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, I totally agree with what you said. Basically, when it comes to these situations, these aren't the most politically involved people a lot of times. So it's not necessarily like we're trying to convince a leftist to come around and like something about Trump. All we really have to do is convince these people that the people who are in charge of their districts don't have their best interests. And an outsider like Donald Trump, who's independent and neutral in situations like this, could potentially lead them out of this darkness. So when I saw the kind of with the story developing over the weeks, I knew I had to cover it in a way. And I'm glad that Scott had this campaign going. It went viral and got tons of traction, which is great. And I knew we had to kind of highlight this just to show, you know, spread some light in a dark space and show that Trump supporters maybe aren't what these people thought they were ahead of time beforehand. And now that they can kind of see it for what it is, they can kind of reconsider what they've been told. And once they realize they've been lied to, whether that's by Elijah Cummings, whether that's by the news, whether that's by local politicians, once they realize they've been lied to on a large scale like that, they're really going to start heading towards the right and fast.
Well, and like you said, I mean, most of these people probably aren't too politically inclined, and maybe all they see is, you know, whatever's on the television if they're watching Saturday Night Live or like a, you know, a weeknight news broadcast or something. So they probably catch a little bit of it, which is going to be mostly, you know, Trump bad, Trump supporters, you know, racist and this. And, you know, they probably don't get charged up about it. They just see it and, okay, that's the way it is. But then they see these Trump supporters come out. I'm not sure how many made it out. It looked like maybe a couple hundred. It looks like they had dozens of truckloads full of trash that they got rid of, too. I mean, wow, talk about a community project. But do you think that this is something that should be, I mean, I do. I think this is something that should be copied, mimicked, other inner cities, just to really, I mean, do it for city cleanup, but also just to say, hey, look, you know, the news telling you that we're all out here trying to divide people and we're racist. Hey, that's not true, man. Hey, you could be any skin color, like any politician. Come out and help us pick up.
Yeah. The political environment, the political stakes are so high right now that in order for someone to be considered right wing, all they have to do is basically admit that Trump is not that bad. That's why I've been doing that campaign on my channel. I've been doing the Trump is not that bad campaign where I try to convince like apolitical college kids that Trump isn't the worst Nazi horrible person ever. So I think with events like this, and the silent majority stands up and is less silent, we're able to defeat that, you know, that shoo away narrative that they have of us. Basically, they can say, oh, Trump supporters are all racist, white supremacist, Nazis. But the more and more we speak up, then, you know, they get in situations where they're calling a black person a white supremacist or a Jewish person a Nazi or a gay person.
Well, and I really wish that that's what people could see, is that they're the most judgmental people I've ever met.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Fleckus Talks is on with me. We're going to just go through some news headlines with you here. Let me pepper through three of them. So, again, the Democrats are sitting here blaming Trump for everything. The wind blows, the earth quakes, a baby burps, your grandma farts. It's, you know, Trump's fault. But seriously, you know, the mass shooting happens. They blame Trump. They blame Trump supporters. They blame all white people. But let's look at some of these other stories. El Paso's shooting was one of the busiest Walmarts in the United States, and it lacked security. Folks, there's small, just grocery stores here in Austin, and I mean, you know, they get busy, but they're not even as big as a Walmart. They wouldn't be like a busiest, you know, department store or whatever, and they have armed security at all entrances. So that's just odd. But again, you're independent. You can defend yourself if you want. If you don't, then, well, okay. But this is an old, you know, look, this is a headline from after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. Missing fathers and America's broken boys, the vast majority of mass shooters come from broken homes. I think there needs to be a 9/11 style commission. Not that I trust the 9/11 commission. I think it's a bunch of lies. I'm just saying there needs to be a mass investigation commission into these mass shootings to find out common threads. Psychotropic drugs, fatherless homes. Is it video games? Is it a combination? I mean, that, but no, take the guns, ban the Second Amendment. White people's fault, Trump's fault. And so because of that, Joaquin Castro posts names, employers of Trump donors. So now a Democrat president for candidate is doxing Trump supporters. I mean, again, that's just saying, hey, here's the enemy. Go attack, basically. This is what they're calling for. You had a CNN anchor or former CNN anchor. I got a stack of this, man. Reza Aslan claiming Kellyanne Conway is the depraved evil we need to eradicate, saying that there's no longer room for nuance. The president is a white nationalist terror leader. All of his supporters are terror supporters. MAGA is KKK. The racist scourge must be eradicated. I mean, they're literally calling for mass death. I mean, like, hello? Like, do I have to sit here and say, we told you the left wants you dead? People think I'm nuts. They're now admitting it, Fleckus.
Yeah, and they really do seem to be escalating things a lot. Like, we've seen them escalate things in the past, but this last one was really bad. Cory Booker came out and said that Trump is directly responsible for this. Beto O'Rourke was doing the same thing, hitting the same talking points. And I touched on it before. It is the framing. They know that when they come after the guns, the right instinctively reacts to defend the Second Amendment, defend, you know, shall not be infringed. And that just kind of creates the boogeyman they're looking for. So they say, oh, guns are the problem. And here are all the white supremacist people on the right who don't want to give them up. And it almost like creates this big, you know, this monster for them to defeat. And at the end of the day, the people on the left know that they're not offering any actual solutions. The end of the conversation isn't going to be both sides agreeing. They're just manipulating the framing of the issue just so we can keep people divided and in darkness and scared and like blindly following the left like sheep.
And of course, you know, since Trump is Hitler, you got to give him the guns. I mean, that's what makes all the sense in the world. Internet sites blamed for helping incite racist violence, but there's no plan to rein them in. That's from CNN. No, wait a second. CNN is causing racist violence and there's no plan to rein them in. But this is all about CNN again with Oliver Darcy and Brian Stelter and the rest of that gang trying to shut down people like InfoWars and Fleckus Talks free speech. I mean, can you believe the nerve of these people to sit up here and race bait and try to incite violence all day and then point the finger at everybody else?
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. They're the ones inciting violence. They're the ones raising the stakes. They're the ones that are calling people to action in a violent way. And it really puts us in a tough spot because we do want to defend ourselves, but we don't want things to escalate to violence ever. And they try to blame Trump for all his rhetoric and the things he said. What about when AOC, you know, calls the Border Patrol stations concentration camps? What about that kind of rhetoric? What does that lead to? So They do it themselves, but then when there's any kickback, then they just have their boogeyman and try to blame it all on us, double down completely. In reality, there's actually not room for a real debate. But I think the people in the middle are starting to wake up to the nonsense. We see it in Baltimore. We see it, you know, the more and more the left tries to push this unsustainable narrative, the more people wake up.
Well, and then Trump comes out and gives a speech. Decries white nationalism. And see, we told you, Trump, they don't care. I mean, until you're dead, they're never going to stop. But New York Times comes out with a headline, and they publish this the day after the shooting. Trump urges unity versus racism. Well, then all the Democrats came out, like Beto and Gillibrand and Booker and the like, and said, oh, and then a bunch of, you know, social media trolls, oh, New York Times, how dare you not make Trump the bad guy here? How dare you give Trump credit for trying to bring the country together? So you know what the New York Times did? Okay, fine. And they changed the headline to Assailing Hate But Not Guns. And by the way, Beto O'Rourke says, this is a quote, he, President Trump, has been calling Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals. That's just a bold-faced lie. I mean, it's like, how do you deal with this, Flegas? These people are just bold-faced liars.
Yeah, and that whole, you know, the Mexicans are rapists thing has been debunked a ton of times. And it's just a matter of how can we effectively communicate that to the people who will listen. So many people are just blindly following the left for the narrative, and they just kind of blindly trusting them. But they are waking up. So it's just a matter of showing them the lies on this grand scale. When they see a billion-dollar corporation like CNN or MSNBC telling them lies in their suits, in their multi-million-dollar studios with their talking heads, when they see the lies told on such a grand scale, I think that's like the ultimate red pill. It was for me, at least, when I saw, you know, how they were trying to prop up Hillary, Madam President, and they were trying to make her this wonderful person, even though I know she kills people. Early on politically, for me, that was a huge wake-up call. So I think that's going to be – it's going to be a trend all from mainstream media to alternative media over the next few months, over the next few years. And it's just going to happen faster the more and more they commit to these failing narratives.
Well, and that's kind of how I opened the show. Like, look, you know, not even be political. It's just I'm trying to wake other people up and I'm trying to say, look, here's the reality. It's common sense. Here's what they're trying to sell you. And it's no sense. Like, for example, I mean, this pig, Anna Navarro, I mean, you know, like pigs like eating out of the dumpster. That's probably where she hangs out. So she tweets, Trump can speak out against the squad, CNN, Elijah Cummings, Don Lemon, Bette Midler, Robert Mueller, Schiff, Paul Ryan, John McCain, climate change, mayor of London, athletes who take a knee in Baltimore, but Trump cannot speak out against white supremacist domestic terrorism? Then he does, and Anna Navarro Pig tweets this out. I don't give a damn what Trump says in a scripted speech. He's already shown us he's demonized immigrants, stoked fear, peddled racism, his whole presidency. I mean, it just goes on and on. So it's like, I mean, at some point, the president has to realize these people will give him no quarter.
Yeah, they'll never be happy. Like, if he doesn't apologize, why didn't he apologize? If he does apologize, he didn't apologize fast enough, or the way he said it wasn't perfect, or maybe he fumbled a little bit on his delivery. And they're never going to be satisfied. They're never going to give him the credit that's due. And in reality, when it goes the other way, for example, when that man shot Steve Scalise and opened fire on the Republican baseball team, I don't remember the right coming out and saying, oh, this is the left. The left is all shooters. The left are all radicalized. The left is all crazy. We saw for what it was. It was an individual who was demented, who had problems, who did something terrible. And we didn't blanket label anyone anything. But when it goes the other way, that's all they seem to do. And
not to mention just the random acts of violence that they all engage in every day on the street. Punching a Trump supporter, throwing a hat. It's just ridiculous. Well, I think we can both say this for sure. Anna Navarro, probably the biggest see you next Tuesday in the history of American media. All right, Flegas Talks, always great stuff. Follow him. His YouTube channel is just incredible. Flegas Talks on YouTube. Look at that. Almost up to 400,000 subscribers. I don't even think he's been on YouTube for more than 2 years. Total victory.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, I've got to do more in this next 10 minutes than I've ever done in any segment ever here on the War Room. Folks, please go to InfowarsStore.com. It's the 1 year Banniversary sale. Huge specials right now. Look, tell you what, it's like go to InfowarsStore.com because celebrate the fact that you kept InfoWars alive. Celebrate the fact that they thought a year ago today they could slit Alex Jones' throat digitally and kill InfoWars. But because of you, we're still here, we're expanding, we're getting better every day. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Celebrate the Banniversary. Celebrate the fact that we're winning. In fact, you know what? I want the Censorship Cup now. Bring it on in. Bring me the cup. I want it right now. We've got 60% off the Real Red Pill and the Real Red Pill Plus. We've got 50% off Super Male Vitality. We've got huge discounts on water filters and air filters. But you know what? It's the one-year anniversary special. I was going to wait to do this at the end of the segment, but I got to do it now. So here is the Censorship Cup right here. It was awarded to Alex Jones today on the Alex Jones Show. But it's tradition with the Censorship Cup here at InfoWars that everybody gets a turn. So everybody gets a turn with the cup, including myself. So let me just do this, and then the crew can have I want to give it to the crew as well. And while I'm reading the news, the crew can celebrate here. But Censorship Cup, one-year banniversary. Thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we're still here. So we're celebrating with the Censorship Cup right now. This is going to taste so good. Ah. The Censorship Cup. There it is, folks. So, thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we're still here. So you can kiss my ass, George Soros. You can kiss my ass, Hillary Clinton. Brian Stelter, Oliver Darcy, you get all the funding, you get all the publicity, and you try to shut us down, and you still fail. You still fail. And InfoWars is still here, thanks to our audience, going to InfoWarsStore.com. So celebrate the one-year banniversary. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Help us beat the censorship and get great products, great water filters, great air filters, great supplements. We've got household items, toothbrushes, toothpaste, shampoo, body wash. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Emergency food supplies, everything is at InfoWarsStore.com. And huge sales, free shipping. It's the one-year banniversary at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, hey, someone from the crew want to come in here and hoist this glory? You guys are just going to let me glory hog it, huh? Just let me glory hog it, huh? Here comes Sam. Sam's a champion. Sam's a total champion. Hoist that here. Do you want some champagne too? Let's get Sam a little love here. Sam, great cameraman, editor here. He's a champion here at InfoWars. That's right. There it is. Now let's take that out to the crew here. Give him what's rest of this the champagne right there. So let's see what I can do here for news. Oh, it's just nice to still be here, even though you're a total enemy of the globalists with all the power, except they don't have all the power. That's their biggest lie. You have the power. That's the secret. God gave you the power. All right. Let's news blitz. Yeah, oh, we got to get him. If he's hoisting the cup. If anybody from the crew is hoisting the cup, the Censorship Cup, I want to get it on camera, too, because we're all champions here. And this is all thanks to the InfoWars audience. Censorship Cup, the most censored organization in America for news. InfoWars.com. All right. Seven Democrats didn't get a single supporter in this New Hampshire primary poll. Excuse me. Seven Democrats are now polling at 0%. But they still have to run because they were never running to win. It was all about trial ballooning ideas to see if they would get accepted so that the Democrats can give you a candidate, like a Manchurian candidate, just for what they think can beat Trump in the end. Maybe they bring someone in to do that. This is hilarious from Kevin Pham on Twitter. And it's just true. So you got all these liberal protesters in America that burn American flags. Oh, this one. Oh. This is a cross-dresser burning one. Queer sing. So the point is, all these Americans burn the American flag like, oh, America's so bad. Ooh, woo, the media told me, my college professor. But then over in China, where they actually have concentration camps and they round up dissidents and, you know, hundreds of millions of murdered in the communist regime, they're waving American flags proud because they appreciate our freedom and they want a taste. I think we should just trade the people in Hong Kong that love America with all these liberals that hate it. Let's just do a trade. Can we just do a trade? Let's do that. Let's make trades for citizenship like they do in sports. Like, can we just make a trade? Like, hey, we got this group of Women's March protesters. They hate it in America. Why don't you guys go to Hong Kong and we'll take the Hong Kong protesters here. We'll do a little trade. Boy, that would be fun. Protesters gather outside Mitch McConnell's Kentucky home. One calls for stabbing him in the heart. Oh, it's not like anybody told you that Antifa was about to start going to people's houses. I mean, it's only going to get worse. Yeah, Riza Aslan calls for Kellyanne Conway and all Trump supporters to be eradicated. You know, I almost thought about going online and saying something to someone directly saying you need to be eradicated just to see if they'd ban me like they did last time. But you know what? We know what they're all about. So what's the point of even pushing it? Oh, so I guess we determined that the Bezos yacht was not his yacht. So there's a whole thing going around about Bezos with this huge yacht. And then the Washington Post is like, oh, you know, stop climate change. But apparently it's not his yacht. But the story is still the same. All these leftists, like the Google event to fight climate change, they all show up in their big jets and their private yachts and all this stuff. And then they say, you need to stop burning fossil fuels. Boy, I'd like to put a fart. You know, these cows, they attach fart bags to them. Literally, they have fart bags that they attach to cows. I'd like to stick these people in the fart bag. Daryl Lamont Jenkins. Heads up, Baltimore. If you're anywhere near North Fulton Avenue and Westwood Avenue, a few well-known neo-fascist glory hounds that like to pull stunts and pretend they are not, namely Posobiec and Pressler, are in Baltimore making like they are doing a cleanup of the city. Literally, that's what they did. And the left hates them for it. And this is a Baltimore activist who's never done a damn thing for Baltimore. I'm sick of these people, man. They never do a damn thing except run their damn miles. And the only inspiration they ever give to anyone is negative. It's hateful. Excuse me. Oh, it's so beautiful. Mariah Carey with Bill and Hillary Clinton. I don't really care about Mariah Carey, but just look at Bill and Hillary in this picture. Guys, see if you can get HD of this tweet. Seriously, Hillary looks like a damn demon, and Bill looks like he's already halfway to hell. Freak show, man. Freak show. Is Ilhan Omar carrying on an affair with a Democrat strategist? This is from the Daily Mail. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's some weird photos and some weird money being exchanged. Oh, by the way, AOC is in big, big trouble. Feds probing AOC's chief of staff, Saqit Chakrabarty. After sudden resignation, I'm telling you, AOC is in big trouble. She may be blackmailed already. Oh, isn't this nice from Tom Arnold? Don Jr.'s New York City apartment has not been robbed yet. Eric Trump's either. Really bad news. But Tom Arnold's okay to exist. Why don't I tweet out that Tom Arnold deserves to have his apartment robbed and be eradicated? I'd be banned immediately. I should be. Let's just keep going here. A take-it-down chant broke out at Camden Yards after a Trump 2020 flag was unfurled. Okay, you know what? I actually want to focus on this for a second. First of all, I talked to people that were at that game. It's fake news. Nobody chanted it. First of all, no one was there. But nobody chanted it. Actually, people liked it. And then when they got escorted out of the building, which is ridiculous, people were shaking their hands, cheering them on. It was a big event like, yeah, Trump's awesome. But wait a second. You can't wave a flag at a sporting event? You know, I'm so sick of what they've done to sports, man. They've killed sports, honestly. That's why, go back to that picture. That's why the stadium's empty. Because I don't even know what you want to call it. Greed, really? The players are making millions and millions of dollars. Other people there don't get anything. It costs $200 if you want to take your family to a ball game. People were cheering the sign. Man, you used to be able to take signs and do anything at a ball game. Now you can't even have a sign. It's like, what the hell, man? They've taken all the fun out of sports. But here's what I wanted to say, and I got other news. Maybe I can get to it tomorrow, but that's the kind of activism I'm talking about, folks. Go to a sporting event. Unfurl a Trump flag. Go to a sporting event. Unfurl a Betsy Ross flag. Go out on the streets after a busy concert and hold up a sign. Do a chant. Get a bullhorn. Take action politically to change hearts and minds and to wake people up. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.